So we discussed that Yoina had a mission, again, to chazar over the whole story. Yoina represents the Jewish soul, the Neshama. And the Neshama was given a mission by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he runs away from the mission, he doesn't want to do it. Life gets hard, Hashem ends up kicking him off the boat, which means the boat is the guf. He takes the Neshama away from the guf, the person dies. He goes to Olam Haba. The Olam Haba is represented by the fish. And the grave is represented in the first fish, and then he goes from the grave to the Gehenna, which is the second fish. He prays for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please let him out. And then finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him out, and he has a mission to do. He has a mission to be machzer everyone b'tshuva. So he has a mission to be machzer the Anshei Ninveh b'tshuva, and the Anshei Ninveh seem to have done the tshuva properly. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Vayera El Yoina. Perek Dal is going to be very challenging. Because Yoina is upset the fact that they did tshuva. So wasn't that his mission to get them to do tshuva? So why is he upset? What's the whole story here? So he said, Vayera El Yoina ra gedoyla. Yoina got very sad. Vayichar, they got angry. So says the girl, that the backdrop here is that he did his mission, but he's angry because Olam Hazeh is hard for him. Spiritually, he's good, but physically, he has no money. He's very poor. And he doesn't have shahira loy me'oid b'choyser mezonot b'shar advarim. He doesn't have food. He doesn't have gashmis. So this chapter is introducing a new problem now. The person has a mission. The neshama has a mission. He's doing the mission, but he's upset because he has no money. And the Anshei Ninveh have both. They did tshuva and they had money. They spent their whole life gathering money, and then in the last minute they did tshuva, and they ended up both. So they're going to end up having tshuva and money, and I'm sitting here my whole life. I did my mission, but I haven't got no money. So he's upset about that. This is the challenge that the Yoina faces at this point, according to the Gra.
Just to clarify, this is after he's...
This is Begilgul Sheni. He comes back into the world as a Gilgul. Okay. The story of Yoina, according to the Gra, is that after you get spit out of the fish, it's the Yoina's second coming. It's the Yoina's coming back into this world to be metaken what he didn't do in the first Gilgul. So according to the Gra, the whole concept of Gilgulin is in Yoina Perek Dalet. Yoina Perek Dalet now is Yoina coming back to the world as a Gilgul.
Meaning he really died?
It's not in the Pshat. It's in another realm, stratosphere.
Okay, I got it.
In the stratosphere of the Drush, I'll be the Tsar, and the stratosphere of the Drush, of the Soid, there is no Yoina. The Yoina is the Neshama. It's the story of the Neshama. And the story of the Neshama, there's two tracks in this whole Sefer. There's the Pshat and the Drush. And he's now explaining the Drush. The track of the Drush means that the Neshama was separated from the Guf, means it was thrown out of the boat. It went into the grave, went into Gan Eden. And then it spit out and brought back into the world as Gilgul Sheni to fix the problem, which is the whole thing why it's described in red on Kippur, because you have a mission to do and it's talking about tshuva. It's just unbelievable. So the challenge he's faced in Gilgul Sheni is, okay, that's it. I'm going to fix my problem. I was sent down for a mission. The first time around, I didn't do the mission. Okay, but I'm not going to mess up the second time. I'm going to do the mission the second time around. But now he's upset. Now he's got no money. Says the girl like this. The girl says stuff here. Mom is mind blowing. He says, it could blow you out of the water. He says, Indian. He b'nei chaye umezayni loy bizchusa tal gemilsa. You ever heard that Gemara? B'nei chaye umezayni. B'nei, children, chaye, life, umezayni, and food. Loy bizchusa tal gemilsa. It has nothing to do with your schusa. It has to do with your mazel. So Gemara, va'amru, tzadik v'toiv loy. Okay, it's a Gemara in Brachas. Now listen to the taich of the Gra in this Gemara. It says, why is it that there's tzadik v'toiv loy, tzadik, and he's good in this world, tzadik v'ra loy. Then you have tzadik and it's not good for him in this world. Then you have a rosh of v'toiv loy and a rosh of v'ra loy. Why? So Gemara says very cryptic stuff. Gemara says, Tzadik v'toiv loy, ze tzadik ben tzadik. Tzadik v'ra loy is tzadik ben rosh. That's the Gemara Brachas. What's the difference between a tzadik ben tzadik and a tzadik ben rosh? Why does the tzadik ben tzadik have tzaddik v'toivloi, and a tzaddik ben Rosha has tzaddik v'ralo. Why? Says the Gra, this is the part that's unbelievable. The Indian is al pi the Zohar. He mi shehaya begilgul rishon ra. In the first Gilgal, the person was a Rasha. So in this world, he's got to fix up everything. So in this world, Zet Tzadik Ben Rasha. That's what the Gemara means, is a Tzadik Ben Rasha. It means he's a Tzadik, he comes from a Rasha. It means he comes from that in the previous Gilgal, he was a Rasha. He's got a lot of problems to fix. So he's going to fix his problem, but he's going to have Tzadik Brown. He's going to have Bad Olam Hazeh. Because he has part coming from the previous Gilgal. So since he's coming from the previous Gilgal, and that Gilgal, to fix the Averis he did in the last Gilgal, he's gonna have to come in this Gilgal and just suffer a little bit, not having mizaynus, not having food, not having basics. So he's going to suffer in this world because Tzadik Ben Rasha does not mean that Tzadik, his father, was a Rasha. It means in the Gilgal Rishon, he was a Rasha. It's an unbelievable concept over here. And that's what it means.
So he has to suffer in this world? Yeah. I mean, in the Gilgal world?
Yeah. In this world, when he comes back as a Gilgal, there's certain things. So this Pirush on the Gra is from Rav Revda. I'm sure Rav Revda is itself. So I had somebody, someone was just telling me, another one of the Rabbanim in the community that was close to Rav Revda, said he was driving Rav Revda one time. And when you drive Rav Revda, there'll be people sometimes who want to hop a time to talk to him. So you would tell him, come in the car, you could talk to him in the car. So he came in the car, and he was driving, and a couple came to speak to him in the car. And they were describing their tsaris, and it was terrible. And she said, what if I do this? What if I do that? Can I do this differently? So Rav Revda told her, there's nothing you need to do and there's nothing you can do. Because it seems to me, the problems that you're describing are not the type of problems that just happen. These are problems that you have because you have them, because in a different Gilgal, this is what he told him, something took place that you need, and this is your lot in life. So you can either embrace it or fight it, but you're not going to change it. And obviously, not every type of tzara is that way. There's different things. So you need a tzaddik like him or somebody else to understand the world and sees things that way and says, look, this is just who you are. This is the way your neshama is. And that's just going to be it. This is, quote unquote, your lot in life. Some people will have that. Some people have great mazel. But it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, bani chayeu mizayni. Certain things, certain angles of life. Depends on your mazel. What does it mean, mazel? Depends on what your tikkun of the neshama needs to be based on the gilgul that you come from. So, like he said, Rabbi Revli, not every tzara is like that. But the tzaras you're describing seem to be that in that category. That's what he told him. Again, leave this to big people. Don't leave this to me and you. But the big people can... Now, says the Grum furthermore, that Ha'inyan, the Zohar says, Mi shahaya begilgul rishon ra is a tzaddik ben rasha. Moridoi Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem Yisbarach brings him down to this world b'chisaron halavana, in the second half of the month when the moon gets smaller. She'ein Hashemesh Zoyraches Negda. The second half of the month, the moon is separating itself from the sun, whereas the first half of the month is getting closer to the sun. So it's coming closer to the shine of the sun. Here it's shunning away and getting further away from the shine of the sun. So he says the sun represents the hashpah in the world. And the further you're getting away, the more less mazel you're going to have. Therefore, says the Gra, that Hashem puts neshamis. This is Kabbalah stuff. Hashem puts neshamis that are going to have bad mazel. He places them in the second half of the month. And the neshamas that have good mazel will be placed in the world in the first half of the month.
I've heard this.
What?
I've heard this before.
Oh, yeah?
Based on the birth date.
So he says, so one second. So he says, what determines this? This is based on the Gilgal. This is based on what in the previous neshamas you have to be metaken. And Therefore, tzaddik ben tzaddik means he's going to have a good mazel because he's coming from. So if he's such a tzaddik, why did he need a gilgal? He needed a gilgal to do one more thing he didn't do yet. But he didn't. He needs to finish the job. But he didn't do major mistakes. He didn't have things of big problems he has to fix. So he's going to be zoyka to a good mazel, and then he can get shnei shulchanos. He can get this world and the next. But if he has major problems, he's got to take care of. Then he's going to be born in the second half of the month. He's going to have bad mazels. Benoy chaim zoyni is not going to be good for him. And then he is going to basically suffer, and or net angle, and that's called tzaddik ben rasha. Okay, this is an unbelievable thing. Now, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Now, one more thing, it's brought down here that this thing about who says this in the Pirush Mosek Midvash. Rabbi Daniel Frisch, Moskvin Dvash on the Zohar says that this does not mean when necessarily the person is born. It means when the neshama was activated to be brought into the world. So it could be like this has to do with the time of the conception or an earlier period. It doesn't necessarily mean when the person is born, and you cannot necessarily tell which mazel he has based on his birthday. Has to do with the creation of the neshama, the spiritual energy of the neshama. It doesn't have to do with the spiritual energy of when the kid is born. And unbelievable thing, listen to this. There's a halacha, you're not supposed to get married. I brought that in Ebenezer and Shulchan Aruch. You're not supposed to get married in the second half of the month. So there's different reasons for it. Some say it's a bad mazel, it's a good thing. The Gro says very cryptically on the Shulchan Aruch, in the Pirush on the Shulchan Aruch, the Gro says, like it says in this Zohar here. In other words, what the girl is saying is that in the second half of the month, if you get married, you could be creating a neshama then. And you're not supposed to be creating neshamas at that time of the second half of the month. Because so the chibur of the husband and wife, that they're getting married and they're starting their mission to create neshamas, if that takes place in the second half of the month, that could be creating the shamas with bad mazel. And therefore, he says, don't get married in the second half of the month. Now,
it also means don't go to the mikveh in that second half of the month.
Okay, so
I'm saying,
I don't know the avatars of it, but at least getting back, that's why I said it's more significant, more specific that you're starting, maybe, you know, I don't know exactly.
Namaste, I don't know, it's not, it sounds interesting, it just doesn't sound practical.
Maybe it doesn't mean exactly that, but he does say that it has to do with this. Maybe it means the same bad mazel. I'm not sure, but this is what I think he means. Now, I will add that someone asked from Byron Cutler that he doesn't want to get married in the end of Chodesh Av. He would rather get married in the beginning of Chodesh El. So the Gra said, Chas v'shalom. The Byron Cutler said, no. The beginning of El is when yeshiva starts. You're going to get married after Elul, yeshiva starts, all the boys are going to miss yeshiva to go to your wedding. There's no question that the saving from the Bittul Torah is going to bring more mazel than getting married in the first half of the month and the second half of the month. In other words, that's our prime velocity of perspective, but you got to put things in perspective. Like these are things that are true, but there are a lot of things that are true, and you have to balance everything and not get carried away. I guess mikvah is a mikvah. You don't have a choice. Over here, you're planning, you're scheduling it. So you're not going to say push off for 2 weeks, but you will say you're not getting married, so don't get married later.
So yeah. Someone who comes as a giggle with this bad mazel, so to speak, then he can't have gashmiut and ruchaniut. Is that what he's? Or he's going to have a lot of his
scream? This is Perek Dalet Mishnah. This is Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph, and this is Yonah's problem. We have the rest of the parak to find out how he gets out of this problem. But this is his problem. We don't know what the solution is yet, but we got the problem. All right? This is unbelievable safer. This is just unbelievable. All right. I'll see you all. Have a great Shabbos.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.